avasthitah being situated, lokam the world, apashyamanah without being able to see, parikramam circumambulating, vyomni in space, vivrittanetrah while moving the eyes, chatvari four, lebhe achieved, anudisham in terms of direction, mukhani heads, translation, Brahma born out of the lotus flower could not see the world, although he was situated in the world. He therefore circumambulated all of space, and while moving his eyes in all directions, he achieved four heads in terms of the four directions. There is no purport for this verse. We will go to the text number 17. Tasmat yuganta swasana avaghurna jalormi chakrat salilat virudham upashritah kanjam uloka tattvam natmanamadha diva deva devah natmanamadha vidat adi devah. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki. Lord Brahma situated in that lotus could not perfectly understand the creation, the lotus, or himself. At the end of the millennium, the air of devastation began to move the water and the lotus in great circular waves. Purport. Lord Brahma was perplexed about his creation, the lotus, and the world. Even though he tried to understand them for one millennium, which is beyond calculation in the solar years of human beings, no one therefore can know the mystery of the creation and the cosmic manifestation simply by mental speculation. The human being is so limited in his capacity that without the help of the Supreme, he can hardly understand the mystery of the will of the Lord in terms of creation, continuance, and destruction. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuhuvan Melitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamagyam Tadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Ho Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauratvishe Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Prishabhano Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Krupa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. Here Prabhupada says, no one therefore can know the mystery of the creation and cosmic manifestation simply by mental speculation. But anyone can know everything about the universe by the blessings of Krishna and Vaishnavas. So I will need your blessing to decode this purport and be able to elaborate on it. Because the mystery of Krishna's creation and the mystery of the universe and the cosmic manifestation cannot be understood by any amount of mental speculation, he says. The scientists have been very curious to know what is happening in the other planets. They are looking towards the Mars. One scientist said, we think there must be some boiling oceans which are leading to smoky surface of the Venus. So this was one of the speculation of one of the scientists. Another scientist in another part of the globe, he looked at Venus and he predicted, I think there must be frozen ice covered by fog. Imagine how much diametrically opposite speculation can be. Where is a smoky fog and where is boiling oceans of oil? So you will find speculation can make only mad. One will never be able to arrive at any conclusions by any amount of speculation. Once a scientist was talking to Prabhupada and he was telling, Swamiji, why do you condemn scientists so badly? And then he said, you see, what we know today is more truer than what we knew yesterday. So are we not making progress in knowledge? We were in more darkness yesterday and now we have come to light. We know better. And then Prabhupada asked, if you claim that you know the knowledge now, can you say that this knowledge will be true forever? Can you say it will never change tomorrow? Then the scientist thought for a while and said, that we cannot say, he said. And Prabhupada said, that means you are always in ignorance, he said. Because it's like, you know, going from one imperfect relative truth to another imperfect relative truth. Better and better relative truth, isn't it? I can just have your pen, just 1 minute. So, now for example, I am standing near a blackboard and I show this pen and ask you, what is it? Somebody at the last, what are they likely to say? I am standing near the blackboard. You will say it's a chalk, correct, no? It looks like a chalk. But then I tell one devotee, hey, this is not a chalk, although it looks like a chalk. It's actually a pen. And then he tells the next one, third one, fourth one, fifth one. And the last person comes to know that this is not a chalk, this is a, that is parampara. Parampara means you don't have to see the truth, we have to hear the truth. That is parampara. This is called a seeing by hearing. We get the vision by seeing, by hearing. For example, say you go to a chemical laboratory, if there is a glass of some liquid kept which appears like lemon juice on a hot sunny day. Because you know, on a hot sunny day, everybody would like to drink some chill juice. You know? Maybe somebody must have made and kept. The only problem is it's a chemical laboratory. It could be something else also. But it appears like lemon juice. And right next to that you find some lemon cut pieces somebody has squeezed also. It is lying right next to the glass. How many of you will drink that glass? Isn't it? It's very risky, correct? But then, you know, you better wait for a while. It's better to be a little patient. Huh? When the laboratory man comes, then you ask him, is it lemon juice? Can I take it? He will say, this is acid. Huh? If you put in your mouth, your tongue will have a big hole. Huh? You'll be finished. You'll die on the spot. How dare you said you're going to drink it? So you may say, but what about the lemon juice? He may say that I just finished my lunch. So, that is why the knowledge should be acquired by hearing, not by seeing. When we see, many things may appear to be truth when we see. But that is not truth. We have to hear to know the truth. that is why Shuchishrava, Amogadrik, these words are used in the Srimad Bhagavatam. We can have a spotless vision by hearing from a person who has spotless vision, which is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is free from four defects. Prabhupada writes four defects in different places, in different ways. In one place, Prabhupada says these four defects, errors, and then he says insanity, inability, cheating. These are the four problems he is saying. Committing errors and insanity. He calls illusion as insanity. And he calls the committing mistakes as inability. A very nice way of putting committing mistakes. Errors, insanity, inability and cheating. These are the problems of any living being in this world. Four defects. With these four defects we will never be able to capture the truth with our limited senses. And speculation is all about that. Speculation means ifs, buts and maybes. That is speculation. Everything they say, like, you know, when they look at an elephant, they may say, elephant is black. Another scientist will tell you, all that is black is elephant. That will be his deduction. And then somebody else sees a crow sitting on a tree, crack crack making sound, and it's black. This is a new elephant, flying elephant. Correct, no? So this is how their speculation goes. How they are led from, you know, truth to wrong. In this way they degrade in the understanding of the truth, you will see. So speculation is very dangerous, and science is nothing other than speculation. And that is why what they thought they know, now they are lamenting, they don't know. Because modern man with his some 200 grams of grey matter, he has arrived at so many ingenious and innovative ways of making life more comfortable in the name of scientific inventions and discoveries. And the result we find, the more he used his speculation, the more he has multiplied his sufferings because of that. Now, suffering in this world is not as serious as suffering life after life. You know, one lifetime of suffering, if somebody has to endure, one may. But when one resorts to speculation, life after life after life, one just goes on groping in darkness. That is why the colleges and schools and universities are simply producing your so-called educated lot, which is graduating into darkness, which is graduating into nothingness. They are simply coming out with some mundane knowledge which only gives them one thing, how to become puffed up. That's all. It adds to their problem, doesn't subtract their problems. So that type of speculation has been the norm in the field of scientific research, and it has been going on in the same manner. Now the speculation, we can dismiss the atheists and scientists as speculators, and we may turn to God and religion for the truth. But the speculation doesn't stop there with atheists and scientists, it extends into the field of religion also. There was one Swami in India who said, what is the use of watering tulasi? The tulasi doesn't produce any fruits. On the other hand, it's better to water a brinjal plant. You can get some brinjal. Like that he said. By saying so, he displayed his ignorance to the public. Isn't it? Like one time I asked a group of a big number of students, something like 600 students, and I asked, how many of you have tulasi plant in your home? Everybody raised a hand. And how many of you have watered it? About 50 to 100 boys raised hand. And the rest of them I asked, you never watered tulasi? He said, Prabhuji, for all of us in our home, our mother waters it. For everybody at home, she is representative of the whole house. So she waters every day. Now, they may not know that why do we water tulasi, but they know the sacredness of tulasi and circumambulating tulasi and watering tulasi in India. You know that. But this Swami went to the West, and he thought he is more intelligent than God also. And he proclaimed, What is the use of watering Tulasi? He doesn't know Tulasi is Bhakti Pradayini, Bhakti Vardini. Simply by seeing Tulasi, simply by touching Tulasi, simply by bobbing down to Tulasi, simply by circumambulating Tulasi, by watering Tulasi, and by folding palms and praying to Tulasi, one can become free from millions of sinful reactions accumulated in millions of lives. And after one's life, one eternally lives in Vaikuntha. This is the verdict of the scriptures. Unfortunately, Swamiji didn't study the scriptures. He only releases things from his own fertile brain, which is called speculation. So the same Swamiji made another speculation also. He said, you see, when there are a group of dogs, they will make a dog as their leader. If there are a group of birds, they will make one of the birds into their leader. Similarly, human beings have come together to make some human like God, like Krishna, Rama, Vishnu and all these things. Actually, God is beyond all these things. He is impersonal and he has no shape, form or qualities. And many people clapped hands because one fool speaks and a million fools clap hands. Isn't it? So, this became very popular amongst the intellectual Indians, this example which I gave you. Because people have their study circles in many colleges where they come together and they discuss this kind of rubbish. And it goes on in the name of intellectual knowledge. But the answer is given to this example in Srimad Bhagavatam. It is said, there is one verse in Bhagavad Gita which defeats Darwin's evolution theory. Saha yajna praja srishtva puro vacha prajapatihi anena prasavishyadvam yesha vostvishta kamaduk. In this verse Krishna says, Saha yajna praja srishtva, at the dawn of creation I created all the praja and the prajapatis and demigods and I sent them. So Darwin dismissed in this one verse. Because Krishna doesn't say that something evolved from something. I only sent everything, is declared in Bhagavad Gita. And in the Srimad Bhagavatam it is said, when the Lord created all the different species of life, he was not satisfied. Why? Because some species could not see. Like there are some creatures which move and they smell and they touch and then they realize things. They can't see. They don't have eyes. There are some which don't have ears. There are some. So different creatures don't have different parts of the body. So the Lord was unhappy, thinking that I have created all these creatures, but all are dull, deaf and dumb creatures. None of them can realize me. Yes, I want the living entities to enjoy separate from me. But I don't want them to be cast in this material world for all time. I wanted to make this material world temporary so that they can gradually get purified and come back to me. But how will they get purified if they have no scope or avenue by which they can wake up? So there is a avrita chetana, sankuti chetana, mukullit chetana. And then the Lord thought, it's not enough to have these three. Avrita means completely covered consciousness, like the mountain. Or sometimes you see some creatures are extremely lazy and dull. Like you see, some scientists thought that virus, is it living or non-living? Because sometimes it behaves like a living thing, another times it behaves like non-living. Because scientists don't know about tamaguna. Because the tamaguna creatures sometimes behave as if they are almost dead also. They appear to be almost dead. But then later on they will come, just like sometimes a buffalo is lying in a pond. Like that making, you've seen that? Very dull. And even if heavily it's raining, buffalo will never run. It's a rare sight to see buffalo running. So, in fact, if you pinch a buffalo, only your finger will pain. It won't feel any pain, isn't it? So, similarly, so avrita chetana is like that. And then sankuchit chetana means little more developed, like the plants. They don't move from place to place. So scientists declared, plants have no life. Later on, when Jagadish Chandra Bose had to come and prove, see this plant, if you keep it in a dark room and open a window, why is the plant going towards that? Isn't it? Tamaso ma jyotir gamaya. It wants to always go from darkness to light. Isn't it? So in this way, various ways, he proved that the plants also breathe, the plants are also living. Nowadays there are cameras which take the growth of a plant, blossoming of a flower, very, very minute scale. And they have seen that, yes, the only living bodies grow. dead bodies don't grow. At least that's one good conclusion they came to. Living bodies undergo 6 changes, whereas dead matter just undergoes depreciation, isn't it? So, in this way, the plants are more developed. Only thing is they don't move from place to place. They are in one place only. They are achara. Then there is, above them there is Svavrut Chetana, Mukula Chetana, Sankuchi Chetana, stunted consciousness. Like the cuckoos or the, like the cuckoos also speak. In the morning you will see one cuckoo makes one sound and then another cuckoo in another tree makes a similar sound. Which clearly goes to show that they are having some dialogue, which we may not be able to decode. Like the dogs also sometimes speak to each other. They make some sounds, right? We don't know what are they saying. But they have stunted consciousness because all they can do is just, you know, look for food, look for a mate and just, you know, see to their protection, that's all. But Lord wanted to create some creature who will be awakened, more awakened, and will be able to approach Him. At that time, you know, in 11th canto it is said that the Lord created a particular species looking exactly like Himself. So Krishna made a creature like a human being who looks like, you know, with two hands, two legs and a face, and who stands on two legs and who walks. Similarly, He made the woman like Srimati Radharani. This type of form, Lakshmi Narayan, Sitaram, Radha Krishna, this type of form He made. And it's actually called Sadhyoni. The human form is called Sadhyoni. And also the Devata's forms are called Sadhyoni. All others are Asatyoni. In any yoni, you cannot awaken Krishna consciousness, that is Asatyoni. In any yoni, we can awaken Krishna consciousness, that is Sadhyoni. Then Lord became very happy after creating the human form. So the same is said in the Bible, God made man in His own image. Like in the Quran, it is said, Abraham, you know, when he got a darshan of God, what kind of darshan he got? You know, it is said that Lord had a brilliant shine coming from His body, it is said. So somebody may declare, was it like the Moses what he saw, the burning bush? No, it was not some impersonal light. Because when Abraham described God, he said He had eyes like lotus petal, he also says. And He had feet which were like lotus. He talks about Vaj, the face of God, Ainun, the eyes of God. So He uses such words in Urdu where He, you know, you will see that these are, Lord also had a face, Lord also had a beautiful form. So in this way, you find that all the scriptures talk about the form of God. But there was another Swami from India, one Dayananda Saraswati. When he says, when I was a small school boy, I saw some rats running in the deity room, you know, inside the altar. I was thinking, how is it that the Lord cannot control these small rats and so many people are bowing to Him? So I decided not to do Murti Puja, he says. And then he became impersonalist later on. But he thought he is smart. But what about Ramanujacharya, who worshipped Ranganath? What about Shankaracharya, who established Badri Vishal, who established, similarly you will find in Kanchipuram, in Rameshwaram, he established deities everywhere. What about Madhvacharya, who established Udupi Gopal, Udupi Krishna? So these are the stalwart Acharyas who have laid down the utmost religious principles for all the people in the world. So this Swami thought He is better than all of them put together. So, Uddhava, in Uddhava Gita you will find Lord Krishna is telling Uddhava how Krishna's devotees, they should carve His deities and they should worship the deities with Pancharatrika Vidhi in the temples. And they should offer Patram, Pushpam, Phalam, all these things. And by doing so, Krishna says, my devotees will see me directly by worshipping my deities. So this is Lord's instruction. It's a very subtle procedure. The deity worship is, although it is meant for Avidusham, the common people in the beginning, who see everything with Jada Buddhi, gradually if somebody continues to do that Pancharatrika Vidhi along with Bhagavata Vidhi of Shravanam and Kirtanam, the result would be that one would become punctual, one would become clean, one would come to Brahminical qualities like Sattva-guna, and then eventually one will transcend all the three gunas to see the Supreme Lord with Chinmay Drishti, where one can see Krishna's deity as Pratimatumina Sakshat Vajendranandan, as Lord Chaitanya said. So in this way, Prabhupada says, once when Prabhupada was in Vrindavan, he was passing in a car. And then later on when he gave the Bhagavatam class, Prabhupada was telling, see, here in Vrindavan, the Arya Samajis, they have a temple also. But it is completely Kali. You don't find even a fly or a mosquito there. Nobody goes there. It's empty. And we have a temple here, Krishna Balaram temple. There is no place to put a mustard seed. Such a heavy crowd if you see here. And Prabhupada asked, why is it? Because we are following Shastras. We have established the deities of Sri Sri Krishna Balaram based on Krishna's instruction to Uddhava and all the Acharyas. So when we follow the Acharyas, naturally, you know, people, the common people may not understand, but intuitively they know. When Prabhupada opened the Krishna Balaram temple, he saw that, you know, many Western devotees were standing with Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, just see, we opened this temple and thousands of people are coming to circumambulate the deities. We don't know them, they don't know us, but they know Krishna Balaram. And they know Radha Krishna. And they know these are the lords and they are worshipable, they are circumambulatable. We can offer our namaskar to them. And Arya Samajis, they came up with a new concocted philosophy that, you know, we will not worship Murti, we made an empty temple and nobody goes there. So, there are so many speculations, even in the field of religion, you find this kind of people speculating. Now, the Shastra says, it's not that only there are scientist speculators or, you know, religious speculators. Even in the ancient times, there were very big speculators who understood that with our gross senses, our speculation will not reach too far. Just like scientists have understood that, you know, you need some telescopes to see very far away objects. So we will have extended eyes. Similarly, we will have extended ears. You can have extended, all your, for every one of the senses, you can have extended senses, which means you can have a telescope to see farther objects which you cannot see with our eyes. But then telescope also has a resolution beyond which you cannot, you know, how far can you go? So in the same manner, the munis in the Vedic times also understood that with this gross body which limits us so badly, we won't be able to understand. So they understood that we have to control our mind and senses and the body by which we will be able to travel in our astral body to other places and know exactly what is existing where. Correct? Just like Visi Kardamamani, you know, he had such control over his mind and senses and nature that he could make a very big aerial mansion. And then he traveled to different pleasure valleys with Devahuti. You read that. Similarly, you see Saubarimuni could, you know, expand himself into so many forms when he wanted to marry the 50 daughters of Mandata. So, Prabhupada says the modern day scientists are also like the Ashtanga Yogis only, but these are like tiny, tiny fellows. But Ashtanga Yogis, they can become like an atom and they can enter one wall and come from the other side. They can do such kind of things, anima, mahima, lagima, prapti and all that. But even about them, Brahmaji says, he says, Pantastu koti shatavatsara sampragamyo vayorathapi manaso munipungavanam sopyastiyat prapadasimya vichintya tatve govindam adipurusham tamaham bhajami govindam adi purusham tamaham bhajami. Rama is telling, my dear Lord Krishna, there are so many munis in this world and those munis are attracted to other munis who are their leaders. And those leaders are attracted to bigger leader munis and they are called munipungavas. Munipungava means the topmost leaders amongst the munis who can do. Just like, for example, the Pandavas, and they were one day playing with the ball fell into a well, and they couldn't take out. And one Brahmana was passing by. He looked at them and said, you are Kshatriyas, you can't take out the ball? And then he said, get me some Dhruva grasses, and then he put the grasses one after another. And he pulled out the ball and gave it to them and silently walked away. And the Pandava children were so amazed. What a great miracle it is. Then they ran to Bhishma Pitamaha and told the whole story. And Bhishma said, that must be Dronacharya, he said. Because he was such an outstanding archer in his times that everybody knew there are certain things only he only can do. nobody else can do. And then he told, I will arrange for a tuition by Dronacharya for all of you. Pandavas and Kauravas, he arranged after that. Similarly, Muni Pongavas are not ordinary people. They are like extraordinary people, outstanding people. And which means they can stretch their mind beyond limits. In fact, they can travel to many planets also within this world. Like you see, Durvasa Muni, he even traveled to Vaikuntha. Some people ask a question, Prabhuji, Durvasa Muni is not a pure devotee. How could he get entry into Vaikuntha? That was a special visa given to him. Why it was given? For the sake of pastime. Sometimes in our altar, we allow the painters to go inside. Correct? You know, that doesn't mean they are pure devotees or something. They are going and seeing Krishna, you know. So, in this way, Muni Pungavas are powerful fellows, powerful people. But although they are stretching their mind beyond limits, at the most they can see Krishna's tip of his toenail shining like Brahma Jyoti. Only the shine of Krishna's toenail tip they can see, that's all. They cannot approach beyond that. So, in this way, if those who can travel their astral bodies, they cannot reach the limit of understanding of this universe, what to speak of anybody else? Everybody else is dismissed. So, if one wants to understand Krishna, there is only one way. Actually, many demigods have tried. Here we are talking about Brahma. Prabhupada writes in one of his another purport. Even the first created living being, Brahma, who is called as Aja or Atmabhu, and who was born from the navel of the Supreme Lord, when the Lord, Pankajanavi, when he extended the lotus, all the jivas were kept in that lotus also. But amongst those jivas, the Lord chose the best of the jivas. Who was it? Brahma. And then later on, all the jivas got their respective bodies and that. But they were all there also. That's mentioned. So when Brahma was given the body, can you imagine somebody has got a body made up of intelligence? Whole body made up of intelligence only. That is Brahma's body. Even with so much intelligence, Brahmaji could not ascertain the truth. In fact, in the dawn of creation, when Brahma was born, he saw the whole universe enveloped by darkness. And Prabhupada writes, even the presiding deity of the material world, which is Durga Devi, even she is sitting next to Lord Shiva and asking questions. She is asking a question. Kenopayena laguna vishnor nama sahasrakam patitai panditai nityam shrotumichyamyaham prabho. Oh my dear Lord, this Vishnu Sahasranam you recited just now is so exhaustive and elaborate. It's difficult to memorize and remember. Is there, you can zip it and give me in a lagu form? Kenopayena laguna. Can you give it in some prasi? In a short form. And then he said, Sri Rama Rame Tirame Rame Manorame Sahasranama Tattulyam Rama Nama Varanane, that Lord Shiva said. So, in this way, Parvati, there is one form of Parvati you will find sitting next to Shiva and asking questions like this. But there are other forms of Durga, like Bhadrakali. Like this is a tongue protruding outside with a trishul. Like in Bengal, you see, you know, everywhere with thin hands and carrying all the cut heads and all that. That's one another form of Kali, you see. So in Kali also there are different types of forms. Some are sattvic forms, where she is sitting next to Shiva and inquiring. Which means we also keep inquiring about the Shastra and keep getting enlightened, then we can also be very calm, cool, collected in Sattva-guna also. Correct. So she is asking, one day Narada Muni was roaming around in different places and he arrived at the home of Lord Shiva, and Lord Shiva was out of station somewhere. And Parvati was there. Yeah, and Parvati, naturally seeing the Brahmachari, she wanted to offer something in service. Because in Vedic life, there is a great eagerness to render seva. So she immediately made him sit and gave him a leaf and started serving prasad. And when Narada was eating prasad, oh my dear Mate, my dear mother, how is everything going on? And women generally have a nature to talk, keep speaking something. So she started telling him, my husband Shiva is such a nice personality. Of course she would not have quoted his name probably. Vedic times people don't quote the name. They only say my mister. So she said, my mister is such a nice personality. He doesn't hide anything from me. He tells everything to me. So when When Narada heard it, he laughed and said, "Really? I really doubt whether he tells you everything." She said, "You think he has some other secrets which he never told me?" And then Narada washed his hand and then came back. He said, "Let me ask you a very simple question. Have you seen Shiva wearing so many skulls around his neck?" She said, "Yes." "Whose heads is he wearing?" he asked. She said, "That he never told me." You know? So then Narada said, "Such a thing as so external as something he is wearing in the neck, even that he has not told you, then how do you think certain secrets which he may keep inside his heart, he may tell you?" Parvati heard it. "That's a good question, logical question," she said. Narada said, "Narayana, Narayana." Narada thought, "My job is done now." Then when Shiva came back to home, and Parvati was fuming, and she appeared to be in a very angry mood. And Shiva asked, "My dear good wife, what happened to you today? You don't seem to be happy." He said, "Then what? You are wearing so many heads of so many people around your neck. I am worried. Whose heads are you wearing? Maybe different ladies' head we may be wearing." You know. Then Shiva said, "I never told you this because you never asked me. But let me tell you, every time you incarnate in this world as Sati and you self-immolate yourself, I picked up all your skulls and kept with me. And now I am wearing only that. These are the different skulls of your face only." And Sati heard it, she said, "Wonderful, continue wearing it." She said, "You could have told me this before. Now I have nothing to worry. Now when that Narada comes, I'll tell him now." And then she said, "Anyway, besides this, do you have any other secret?" This fellow Narada said that, "You also have some more secrets in your heart which you only reveal to certain pure devotees. You don't talk to me. You never tell me. What is that secret?" Shiva said, "Yes, I have one paramarahasyam which I generally don't reveal to most of the fellows in this world." Why? Because most fellows in this world are addicted to material enjoyment. Like you see, Shiva is called as Ashutosh, you know. Anybody goes to him, anybody asks, he gives very easily. Like, you know, sometimes in a jungle when you go, you find there was one Shivalinga in a jungle, but in the top of the, there were two sticks like this and a brass bell was hanging. One fellow was climbing on the Shivalinga to get that brass bell, thinking it is gold, you know. And Shiva was wondering, "Who is climbing on my shoulder?" You know. And then he asked, "What do you want?" He said, "I want that brass bell. It is tied so strongly, I am unable to remove." Shiva said, "Don't worry, Tadastu, you'll get it, take it." So Shiva immediately bestowed it on him. Shiva said, "This is the business I do in this world. I am fed up. So many fellows are after me for material enjoyment. So I don't tell that Paramahara Rahasyam to everybody. So I give a sakapata kripa to most people. But I have an akapata kripa also, which I reserve for my pure devotees." So she said, "What about me? Am I qualified to hear or not?" So Shiva said, "Yes, why will I not tell you? You are my better half. But we need a very secluded place where nobody else will hear us." So then they went to Bhuvaneshwar, they went to a place called Ekamravan. They sat under that Ekamravan tree. There's only one mango tree in that entire area. So under that Lord Shiva sat with Parvati and he started speaking Srimad Bhagavatam after ensuring that no ordinary person will hear it. At that time, of course, it's a long story. My Lord, I will lose my time. Okay, I'll complete this one. You know, when Lord Krishna returned to his abode along with Srimati Radharani and with all the associates, then the Shuka parrot was also ready to go with all of them back. But Krishna told her, "You have some important business to do, you stay back." So Shuka was very much lamenting that all Krishna and associates have gone back and I am left alone. So he was weeping and flying all over the world, crying Krishna's names. Is there any devotee in this Kali Yuga who will want to live? So in this way, when he was lamenting and flying in different places, he was also remembering Srimati Radharani in his mind, because Radharani used to keep this parrot in her fingers, and whenever she would tell the bird, "Say Hare Krishna," or "Say Krishna," and the bird would say, "Krishna, Krishna," he would say, then she would feed some pomegranate in the mouth. So he is somebody who eats pomegranate from Radharani's hands, and now he has to live without her any association. So when he was lying like this, he came and sat in the Ekamravan. he heard the Bhagavad Katha also. When Parvati went to sleep in the third canto, when she heard about all the Sankhya philosophy, and Shiva was in trance and he went on speaking, you know, continuously. As Shiva completed the 12th canto, Parvati got up and said, and she said, "Swami, you never continued after the third canto. After that, what happened?" He said, "I thought you were hearing, but you were saying, you were saying." And she said, "I am not saying, somebody else." And then they looked up and the bird was sitting there. And then Lord Shiva said, "Hari, I don't know who this bird is. And he should not hear it and misuse his knowledge." So he took his trishul and ran, and the bird flew away. And then the bird entered into Vyasadeva's wife's mouth. Now you may ask, if Vyasadeva's wife had Shukadeva, who is fully realized in this knowledge, then why he came as a Brahmajnani? And that is for the sake of pastime. The Lord wants to show that many jnanis in this world, Atma Ramashchamani or Nirgunta Apyurukram, as it happens to them, they become devotees. But Shukadeva is never bereft of Krishna conscious knowledge. He always carries it with him. So, in this way, Prabhupada says, even Parvati is ignorant. She wants to learn from Lord Shiva. Similarly, Brahma was also ignorant. The dawn of creation, when he saw only darkness everywhere. And then he got that instruction, tapa, when he performed the penance. And then when he opened the eyes, the first thing he saw was the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu with ankle belts. Then he saw the golden pitambar. Then he saw the jeweled belt. Then he saw the chest of the Lord in which Kausuva Mani was there and all the other beautiful jewelry and ornaments were there. Then he saw the Chaturbhuja Rupa with Shankha Chakra Gada Padma. Then he saw the Lord's eyes semi-closed in trance and his beautiful smiling face with his mukut and shark-shaped earrings. When he saw the smiling, beautiful form of the Lord, immediately, at once he got fully enlightened. Brahma, he understood. See, in one of the later kalpas, when Brahma sees Vishnu, he says, "This is Sakshat Hari." Immediately he understands who this personality is. So, and then the Lord shakes hands with him and gives him the supreme wisdom. And Krishna says in the 15th chapter, last verse, you will see, "Yo mameva asammudho janati purushottamam sa sarvavitu bhajati mam sarva bhavena bharata." He's telling, "My dear Arjuna, one who knows me knows everything," he says. "Sa sarvavit," he's saying. He knows everything. And one who doesn't know me does not know me. So even such a Brahma, see this Brahma, Shiva and all, they're all bhaktas in Aishwarya Bhava. In Vaikuntha, Vishnu is more beautiful than Lakshmi also, it is said. Why? Simply to satisfy his servants like Brahma and Shiva, the Lord assumes a more beautiful form in Vaikuntha. Because in case Lakshmi is more beautiful, they will ask, "Swami, how can she be more beautiful than you? You please become more beautiful." They request him. Prabhupada writes that. And that's why the Lord is more beautiful in Vaikuntha. Whereas in spiritual world, in Goloka Vrindavan, Krishna doesn't play the role of God. You find Balaram is putting his hand on Krishna's shoulder. Is it not true? And you will find, like one day, Krishna, he was standing near a home of a gopi along with his friends. And they were planning to attack that home, you know, and get the butter and everything. And the gopi came out. As soon as the gopi saw them, then the gopi said, "Hey, Kana, you and your friends, I know what you are up to." And they all ran away from that place. So, in this way, in Vrindavan, one day when he was standing, another gopi called Krishna, "Come here." And she showed a big gola in the hand. "Would you like to have butter? You see, I am giving you. You don't have to steal. I will give you." So, Krishna was thinking whether to go or not. Sometimes the children, you know, they feel shy when nobody else is receiving a peda from you. They feel, if I go and receive, they will say that I am too attached to eating. Similarly, Krishna was wondering, should I go and take? He said, no, my Maya makes at home. I will take that. You know, he was telling. Then the friends were asking, "Kana, why don't you go and take? She is giving such a big gola of butter." He said, you know, nahi, hum parishram karke kaayenge, he said. You know what he said? "I will work hard and I will get it because I extended my arm as Vamanadev and I asked for 3 steps of land and till date people are criticizing me that I usurp the whole universe. I don't want to be object of criticism. And I will work hard and, you know, earn the butter." And he's working hard means what? Going and stealing in homes. You know? So, Brahma These kind of pastimes are too much for Brahma. That is why when he saw Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan, he was bewildered. It is said in the prayers of Brahma, Brahma said, "My dear Lord, you know, like a snowflake in the night or a jugunu glowworm in the day, what is their value? Because a glowworm can throw off in the night, but when the sun rises in the morning, the glowworm looks like some green color kida, you know, it looks like some worm. Similarly, snowflake can only shine under the sun. When there is no sunlight in the night, snowflake has no value at all. Under the sun, the snowflake may look like a diamond. Similarly, Brahma said, without you, I am just like a hand cut off from the body and kept on a table, has no value. Similarly, I have no value at all, my dear Lord, without connection with you. And you are like sun and I am like a snowflake. So, there is a beautiful verse. Evam sammohayan Vishnum. It is said, he tried to sammohayan Vishnum. He tried to bewilder the Supreme Lord. Vimoham Vishwamohanam. Vimoham. That Lord who can never be bewildered. Vishwamohanam. But who bewilders the whole world? He says. Svayaiva mayaya yopi svayameva vimohitaha. It is said. Svayaiva. With his own maya, Brahma tried to bewilder Krishna. Although he is called as Aja. Brahma is also called as Aja. But svayameva vimohitaha. It is said. He himself became vimohita. He himself became bewildered by his own maya. It is said. So, scientists are bewildered. Great demigods are bewildered. The topmost demigods like Brahma and Parvati, even they are bewildered. And even, as I was telling you, the Munipungavas are bewildered. The only way to know Krishna is to know about him in Guru Parampara, where the knowledge is unadulterated and handed down from one Guru to another. And then one will become a Sarvavid. Why Krishna uses the word Sarvavid? Because when you become all-knowing, the knowledge, you are connecting to a vast body of water like an ocean. We will never have dearth of wisdom. We will never have dearth of realization. We will never have dearth of bliss. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki, Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki.